Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Shubhajyoti Starch and Chemicals Limited Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Aman Sethia. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Sethia.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Aman Sethia, Vice President, Finance and Company Secretary of the Shubhajyoti Starch. Would like to extend a cordial welcome on behalf of the Shubhajyoti Group for joining us on the con call on FY24 results. Dear friends, while we appreciate your time and patience for remaining invested with us for long, we promise all our current and potential investors that we are a company which is not only committed to the operational and financial performance but also the transparency and best practices front. Regarding performance in FY24, I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results and the press release which have been uploaded on the stock exchange. However, I would like to reproduce some key figures. Friends, our net sales at 1,370.86 crores during FY24 against 1,435.25 crores in FY23. EBITDA for the year is 134 crores versus 145 crores in FY23. The profit before tax stood at 77 crores against 92 crores the corresponding previous year, and the profit after tax is 55.62 crores against 70 crores in the previous financial year. The Q4 FY24 sales stood at 368 crores with EBITDA at 33 crores and PAT at 11.46 crores. Though the volumes of our production and sales were higher as compared to the last year, the sales values and the margins were affected due to pricing pressure on some of our key finished products owing to low demand from some sectors. On financial front, our long-term debt has reduced to about 83 crores with a very low debt-to-equity ratio of 0.16. Today, from management side, we have Mr. Dheeraj Sardana, Senior VP and CEO, and Mr. Bhavdeep Sardana, Senior VP and CEO of the company. Now, I hand over to Mr. Dheeraj Sardana to give a brief about the company. Thank you.
Good morning. I welcome all participants to the call. For the new investors, I wish to add here that Shubhajyoti is an agro-processing company that specializes in the production of starch and its derivatives. With a rich history and as one of India's oldest and largest starch producers, Shubhajyoti has forged enduring partnerships with major brands and end users. We have a diverse product portfolio catering to a wide spectrum of industries such as food and beverage, paper and board, personal care and pharmaceuticals, textile, FMCG, animal and pet foods. As the dynamics of world and industry are changing fast and each year comes with new challenges, we at Shubhajyoti strive to find the best opportunity during such challenges. As Mr. Sethia mentioned, pressure remained on the prices of some of our high-value finished goods last year owing to lower demand from some key sectors. However, now an uptick in demand is being reported, especially in the FMCG sector, and it is expected that our high-value products will take charge of our sales and profits during the running year. Further, with the growing awareness of nutritive and quality food by the health-conscious consumers, the demand for new varieties and superior quality food will continue to rise, and we believe that the starch industry is going to benefit as our products directly find place in such food items. A key element of our strategy is the diversification of our product mix. We aim to provide superior solutions that meet the specific requirements of different market segments. This approach not only strengthens our customer relationships but also drives higher margins and revenue growth. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Bagdeep Sardana to share more details. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. As we discuss the financial and operational performance of Q4 and the full fiscal year ending FY 2024, it is clear that our company has demonstrated remarkable adaptability and resilience in a very changing environment. Despite facing pricing pressure and soft demand from key industries such as FMCG and pharma, we managed to achieve higher sales volumes compared to the previous year. This achievement is a testament to our strategic agility and operational excellence. While our EBITDA and profit margins were impacted by low sales of high-value products, we are optimistic about the future. We anticipate that the resurgence of high-value products will significantly change and add to our sales growth in the coming quarters. This rebound is expected to drive both growth and profitability as we continue to implement our strategic initiatives and capitalize on market opportunities. Our growth initiatives are progressing well, with a notable increase in capacity expansion set to be commercialized in the coming months. This expansion is a critical component of our growth strategy, enabling us to meet increasing demand and strengthening our market position. Additionally, we are actively exploring both greenfield and brownfield expansion opportunities. These expansions will be pursued based on thorough internal assessments and prevailing market dynamics, ensuring that we make informed and strategic investment decisions. Our unwavering commitment to enhancing our product portfolio and advancing our operating margins remains steadfast. We are prioritizing higher capacity utilization. We strive for optimal performance, maximizing operational efficiency and boosting productivity across our operations. Looking ahead, we are enthusiastic about the prospects that lie before us. Our strategic initiatives are not just about growth, but building a sustainable and profitable future for our team. In conclusion, the year FY 2024 has been a period of significant achievements, strategic and advancements for our company. Despite the challenges, we have shown that we can adapt and rise. We remain committed to executing our strategies effectively, leveraging our strengths, and capitalizing on new opportunities. We are confident that our focused approach and strategic initiatives, we will continue to achieve our goals and deliver a long-term value to our stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Yogansh Jeswani from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Good morning to you all. I hope I'm audible, sir.
Slightly. Could you speak a little bit more clearly?
Sure. Is this better?
A bit, yes.
Yeah. So, sir, just one question around your inventory. So, if you look at the closing inventory, it is reasonably high compared to what is our usual trend. So any specific reason for that, or is there any one-off into it?
It is how we look at the raw material situation vis-a-vis multiple factors in the market. We carry inventory to ensure continuity and operations. If we see the incoming crop, if it is low or if feel that there would be a increase in the pricing because of some other factor. So the company has put decision to carry more inventory at that particular point in time.
Okay. But nothing of the sort that some bit of shipment was delayed in Q4?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. So, sir, out of this inventory, then, is it possible to share what would be the raw material inventory and how much would be the finished goods out of the 230 crores?
Mostly it is raw material. We tend to be light as a strategy on finished goods. Unless it's a strategic decision where a shipment is being planned or we see there's going to be a price difference. But you could assume that more than 60% is raw material.
Okay, understood. And so, given your view on inventory, then is it safe to assume that in next couple of quarters we are expecting probably better margins since end product prices might also rise given the higher raw material prices expectation?
That is our hope.
Sorry?
That is our hope.
Okay, got it, sir. And sir, just one clarification on the capacity expansion that you were alluding to in your opening remarks.
Yes.
How much is the addition in capacity in volume terms, if you could just share that?
It would be close to a 400-ton capacity expansion across multiple units, across various product lines. And we are about a few months away from completing it at all the locations where the work is going on. And based on 1600 current capacity installed, this 400 takes us to 2000 tons per day of maize crushing plus enhancement in certain product lines.
Got it, sir. Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dr. Arun Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, good morning, sir. Thanks for the opportunity.
Good morning, sir. Yes, Dr. Sharma.
So my first question is, from last 1 year, we are saying that the capacity would be 1600 to 2000, but it has still not materialized. Can you give a timeline that by when it would be materialized?
So, we were supposed to have, we have always been saying that it would be commercialized, that we would be ready in FY24-25. We maintain that. We have been telling all our stakeholders that we are working on it. We continue to say that and we believe firmly that it will be in FY24-25. But definitely we are trying, because of elections in various phases across different states at different times, certain construction work got delayed, etc. So we are at the final stages. Over the next 2 to 3 months, I expect that most of the expansion work would be completed. And in Q4, we would start to seeing some results of it.
Okay, sir. And my second question is that 10 to 12 acre land that the company was planning to sell. How much company is expecting, how much money is the company expecting to gather from that?
So the land you are listing is our old land. Like we say that we have mentioned in the past that the company, this land was acquired through in 1943 and then subsequently small parcels were added to it. Our exploring of various pricing, because it is in the heart of the city in Fagwada town, it is in Fagwada town, it has multiple roads, so the various benchmarking of pricing is different on each road. So with government, state government policies of circle rates, etc., so there are multiple rates, so price finding is going on, and when we get a firm offer, we would be sharing it with all our stakeholders also.
Sir, any ballpark idea that it would be 100 crore, 120 crore? Approximate idea.
I can say that, but we are not at that stage to make even a figure, because price finding for a land which has multiple roads and multiple sell trades around is a bit complicated.
So sir, shareholders get any idea, na? That is more than 100 crore. What is the company expecting? Because you are in
Dr. Shumath, sir, the range of pricing can vary from 50 crores to 100 crores. Now, if I give a commitment or make a statement, it will be very irresponsible of me.
Sir, we only want to know the range. 100 to 150.
Sir, if someone says 50, someone says 100, someone says 50, then you know it is not for me to give a comment. So until there is clarity on what circle rate will be, when the state government has also been busy in formulating some policies on land pricing, etc. So we are also waiting for that. So there is clarity to a potential investor. So they also then do their business on it, and they can make an offer to the company for it.
Sir, would it be done in a year or year's time?
We are not located in NCR or Tri-City Mohali area. Fagwara is a small industrial town. So a different type of customer here would be required. We are marketing through the local channels accordingly.
Sir, and the last question is, as we discussed the management of Dabur FMCG, they are quite positive on the rural demand. Do we see these implications in the company?
I'm very happy, Dr. Sharma, that you are following FMCG, because the last four quarters FMCG has been very subdued. Now only they are starting to say that there has been green shoots in their rural demand, and it will look up. So if they look up, we will also look up.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Sharma.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Sharma.
Next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dimensional Securities. Please proceed.
Hi, good morning, sir. Just wanted to get an idea for the year that went by, FY24. What has been the volume growth for industry, and then for Sukhjit Starch? I mean, have we gained market share? I mean, how has the industry and versus Sukhjit performed?
I would say status quo, Harsha, has been maintained. I will not share how much we have grown. Definitely our growth has been there, and going forward, the volume growth will continue increasing over the next few years until the full capacity utilization of the recent expansion work underway gets utilized. As far as to give you a better analysis of the picture, the starch industry this year has witnessed many changes and largely swings in raw material. And the swings in raw material pricing from dips of 10% to highs of 15% from, I'm talking about, let's say, if I take a base price of 22 rupees. So we've seen big fluctuation because of ethanol coming in. And because of, like previous caller mentioned, FMCG uptick, is being observed by certain large FMCG players. Last four quarters, it's been pretty subdued by the FMCG majors, and the statements by Nestle or Dabur, etc., etc., HUL mirror that. But as a company, we have grown in volumes, and I'm hopeful that we will grow more in volumes, both in volumes and sales figures in rupee terms. So, quite hopeful for that.
Okay. And could you help us with average raw material procurement price, maize price for Q4, and where does the price stand today?
See, pricing has been very elastic. You know, Q4... if you look at the financial year Q4, starting from 1st of Jan, you know, when the crop of the kharif crop is literally over or at its fag end of arrival or peak arrival, going towards 31st March is there is no crop. So pricing can go as high as 25, 25, 50 in certain parts of the country, and it could be at 22 to 23 rupees in the producing areas where there is stock at the local level. So, and today's date, Bihar, which is the Rabi crop, which comes end of April, first week of May, the crop started at, you know, 19 to 21 rupees in that range. But today, ex-Bihar, one cannot get ex-Bihar at 22.5, 23 rupees. So that would mean up to 25 rupees in certain consuming areas.
Okay. That gives a fair idea. And coming to volume growth going ahead, of course, FY24 has been quite subdued for the FMCG companies, but just to get a fair idea, if we talk about next 3 to 4 years, say if the volume growth for FMCG would be around 4 to 6%, because that is what the bull case assumption is for the mature FMCG industry, volume growth somewhere between 4 to 6, 7%, then where do we see volume growth for Sukhjit if we talk about a fairly long term 3 to 4 year period, adjusting for cycles and everything?
See, we are looking at 10% growth going forward in terms of volumes. We are trying for a 10% growth. It all depends on how fast our expansion work happens. But let's say FY25-26, I would say 10% looks reasonable. And this year, it could be a challenge, but I think we are working on it. We have certain ideas which we need to do, which we are implementing. So we are not only looking at overall capacity, but we are incrementally looking at certain product enhancements where that product growth could be there. So if FMCG is going, you know, buying XYZ products from us, and if they are in talks with us for, you know, long-term supply and let's say a medium-term horizon, like you mentioned, is 4 to 5 years, maybe 6 years. So we are working with them and seeing their capacity expansion plans, and we've implemented our capacity expansion plans to service them. So certain products could grow while, you know, the overall maize grinding could be in the 5 to 10% range.
Well,
I mean, this is all before we set up a new plant.
Got it. And sir, in terms of gross margins, so, I mean, if we look 2 to 3 years back, we were at somewhere around 37-38%. And now we are at around 31%. So is it fair to assume that in terms of gross margins, we are at the bottom, and from here on, given that we are moving towards value-added product and the pricing environment is slightly improving, so is it fair to assume that the gross margins have bottomed out from these levels?
See, it's our effort to move towards more value-added sales. It's been a consistent effort to move towards value-added sales. But, you know, then I always, on these calls, I always mention that sometimes starch gives a better margin. So, what we are doing consciously is building capacity of the products rather than just blindly adding maize grinding. So we can chop and change our product mix as the market changes.
Okay.
And that all to increase our margin. So our effort is to now to increase the margin. So, you know, I think I've answered your question very clearly.
Yes, you have. And sir, what would be the power cost for FY24? Because I believe in FY23 it was somewhere around 154, 155 crore, almost 10 or 11% of our sales. So where do we stand in FY24 and going ahead? Do we expect this cost to, as a percentage of sales, to come down a bit?
So it is similar, but it marginally lower. Let's say It is marginally lower. I would say by a couple of percentage points. Going forward, when we, that's why we are saying that, you know, when we expand our capacity in a more significant way, when we are looking at greenfield and brownfield, then this element would go down even more. And we would be in line with, you know, a larger, more efficient, relatively more efficient standalone unit in anywhere in the world.
Got it. That was helpful. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ronak Shah from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir, for the opportunity. My question is regarding the capacity expansion. So as you explained that there is recovery in the FMCG space and you are witnessing some green shoots in that demand, but you and industry per se are expanding very rapidly. So which are the other key levers which you and industry is feeling that will drive growth going ahead?
See, this whole reliance of making in India, more product in India, PLI scheme was a big push for Indian products being, food products being exported. As global challenges, as global challenges of supply chain and the China plus one for ingredients, and you know, India being favorably placed in terms of both self growth within India and export led growth to our neighboring countries, I think all that emboldens the starch industry, including us, to add capacities at strategic locations, and we grow our portfolio accordingly.
Okay, got it, sir. My second question is regarding current RM environment scenario. So we are witnessing inflation in the prices of the maize. Vis-a-vis the international prices of the starch and its derivatives are likely stable or on a lower side. So how we are seeing the realization trend and the margins going ahead?
See, because the raw material pricing is in India is unique because Indian maize is protected to a very large extent. Indian maize is a non-genetically modified maize, and therefore, if there is a outage, only similar type of grain can come. And Indian pricing is has always been traditionally higher than the US price or Ukraine price or you know, Argentina price. But as far as our products globally are concerned, we compete on FOR pricing, and due to efficiencies in large plant and disruptions in global supply chain and energy costs globally, Indian manufacturers, as we increase our capacities, we find it of value to capture additional markets. So that is what is happening in the industry, and I see that trend to continue for a short medium.
Sir, in numbers, can you quantify is the current realization trend is sustainable or we are expecting some uptick in this trend?
See, we are a nature-dependent, raw material-driven business, the entire industry is. So while I am quite confident that Indian export opportunity and domestic consumption in sectors such as FMCG, pharma, paper and textile will continue as the country moves towards better growth and the country moves towards, you know, our demographic dividend of a young population gets more and more into the workplace, either through gig economy or through formalized economy. And I think post-elections, there is going to be energy put in into the economy by servicing people at the bottom of the pyramid. That will drive growth for our products. Now, what the margins will be, I can't say, but yes, definitely there's going to be good demand. And as you can see from our margins and others in the industry, they are pretty much range bound. We see high 14%, 15%, but then during conventional periods, we are 9, 10, 11%. So I expect the same kind of trend to continue. What will happen 6 months down the line, I can't say. But yes, I think India is placed very well for growth. And our company is hoping to capitalize on that.
Got it, sir. So my last question is regarding, as recently you stated that you are partnering with the FMCG player regarding their fixed or contractual lifting. Can you explain it a bit more in detail that how we are having arrangements in terms of the fixed contract lifting or and how we determine the price either on spot or fixed base?
See, I did not say there is a fixed contract with this thing. We have relationships with FMCG. And we get to our contractors the pricing them. It could be a quarterly price, it could be a quantity contract. But when we work with them, they tell us what their growth plans are. And if they need a particular product from us in a particular geography, and we work with them because of the relationship built and the trust we have built over the years. They tell us on in advance that, you know, in 2 years time we would be landing and we would hope that you are able to maintain your supply position of being the majority supplier and we expect volume growth to be so and so. So we either expand before they do or we coincide with them as far as pricing is concerned. We negotiate as a, it's our company policy not to get into any fixed term, long term contracts which are forward looking. We negotiate on the day when they are ready to place an order of a certain quantity or for a certain period.
Got it, sir. Got it, sir. Thanks. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from Astute Investments. Please go ahead. Mr. Deep, your line is unmuted. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Okay. So my first question is around the RM cost. So has the industry made any representation to the government for allowing the import of maize? Because I think in the past, whenever the prices have increased beyond certain point, government has allowed the import of maize, right? So has the industry made any representation?
See, this is an ongoing process, industry, and we are, you know, we are very lucky that the government has, in the recent past, within the last 6 months, so allowed imports and non-GM imports did come into India. Has benefited certain manufacturers and other stakeholders. Of the maize industry, like the poultry and feed players who were based near the ports, the pressure of maize at the growing area, at the traditional maize growing areas. So the relationship between industry and government is, I think, fantastic, and government is still up to the situation. Government doesn't want us.
Sir, your voice is breaking, sir.
Yeah, so I'm saying there is no problem as far as getting maize to import in the country. Any application being made, it's a regular affair now. And until the domestic maize crop does not significantly increase, the government is open to allowing maize, non-GM maize, for specific users in the starch industry or the poultry industry.
Okay, sure, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jasmine Kaur from Fortuna Investments Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, your voice is very low.
Hello. Okay. Is it better now?
Yes, it is better. Please give your question.
Okay. Sir, I wanted to know what is the capacity utilization for FY24 that you could achieve?
We were close to 89%. You know, 83 to 85% reaching at that level and...
Okay, 83 to 85%. Okay. Also, sir, you said about the greenfield capex or a brownfield capex that you would be looking for. Could you give us a bit on the size that you are thinking of and the capital outlay that you are thinking of? Very broad estimates are also fine because I understand that this would still be at the drawing board stage. But
yeah,
in terms of the timelines and capital outlay, if you can tell us, yes.
See, Ravnuji, we would be looking at 1,000 tons. It could be 1,200, it could be 1,000. It all depends on what final products we add alongside it. So the cost of a plant would depend on the location and the type of products we need to site at that location. That would rise the price. I would say it could be safe to assume, looking at competition who have recently partially commissioned their plants with single products, that I think they spent close to 200 crores. So, we would be all range, but our total capex would be dependent on what we decide on the product mix. Again, that is dependent on the location we go to.
Okay. Okay. And so, in terms of the timeline, I mean, are we looking at next year, next financial year for this? Because this year you are the other 400 metric tons is going to come up. So are we going to start work on this from next year onwards?
See, logically what you're saying may mean that, but I am not ruling out possibility that in case an opportunity comes, we don't want to let go or we feel confident, we may look at it in Q4. This year also, but since it is going to be a very large project, we want to do our due diligence and we want to take our time. You know, we can't take a decision offhandedly without doing multiple surveys and doing a process of going through a process of decision making and ruling out possibilities.
Sure. And sir, in terms of see the long term debt has quite significantly come down over the past few years from the time you did your last capex. So I mean, this is also going to run down further, and I think there is you know, fair amount of cash which has been built up on the balance sheet. I mean, you can correct me, but I would assume in the range of about 80 to 100 crores. So what is the comfortable debt level that you are looking at when you embark on this next phase of expansion? So, you know, how can I look at the debt position for the company, let's say, in the coming 2 years time frame?
Our company's strategy has always been to keep a very comfortable debt to equity position. You know, right now we are less than, I think, 0.17 also. I think last Q3 we were 0.17, we were even lower than that, 0.1516. So naturally, long-term debt would get retired. This financial debt means can easily go up to 0.5, 0.6 again when we need to. Answering the last question, the company has a present debt to equity ratio of 0.16. We can safely go up and add to it, and we would be retiring more debt this year and adding to our reserves through company's regular operations. So any project which we do would be commissioned between 24 to 30 months. That would be our target ideally. Final timelines would be dependent on the product mix. So, there would be significant contribution from internal resources and we can pick and choose how much debt we need to take. So, we have that flexibility and of course, we've been adding to our reserves as you can see on our balance sheet.
Sure, sir. Sir, just one last thing on the current 400 new. How do you see the ramp up of this in terms of capacity utilization for the part of the year that it will be operational this year and let's say next year? So how in terms of your visibility of demand from the various sectors? How do you see this ramp up happening, given that currently you are at about 85% of the present capacity?
So, since your voice was not very audible, but I think I got the gist of your question. I am quite confident of further volume growth this year. And as while we are in the process of adding capacity of both maize grinding and product at various locations, so capacity enhancement in both products and maize grinding should happen this year and towards the latter part. And FY25-26, again, I am hopeful that we would grow, maybe up to even 10% more volume growth from the levels we will finish at 24-25.
Okay, so then, so that means that the enhanced capacity for this to ramp up will take some time, you're saying about 10% volume growth.
We are looking at, and we would see this is a. This is an expansion. So capacity utilization as a percentage terms would be on the higher side. It will not be low. So, and we would expect some of it to come in H2. Now, whether it comes in what part of Q3 or early Q4, we are pushing for it to come as soon as possible. So. That will give the right fillip.
Sure, sir. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Urmi Khania from Robo Capital. Please proceed.
Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Sir, since you are expecting good growth in volumes, what is your growth outlook for revenues for the year FY25 and also FY26?
See, I can't comment on what the pricing of maize will be. As you can see that we've grown in volumes over last year and our top line has fallen. It's primarily because of pricing pressure and changes in raw material pricing through the year. But safe to say that if the current trend goes, that to be very conservative, maybe a 6-8% growth on top line can happen from the current level. It can be more also, depending on how maize pricing behaves through the year.
Okay, and since you are adding capacity, will that add to some more percentage for FY26?
We are hopeful that FY26 will be a better year than FY25. And our effort in volume growth will definitely be there. And I'm confident that growth will materialize as per our plans. However, what I cannot predict is how maize pricing will be forward-looking beyond one season.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sahil Vora from MNS Associates. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Sir, what kind of revenues are we expecting from this new plant in FY25? What kind of revenues and what can we expect? If you could please throw some light on that.
So there is no new plant we are setting up. I think you've misheard the conversation. We are expanding products and expanding capacities at various locations of our existing locations. And as far as revenue growth is concerned, I mentioned in the preview to the previous caller, we are hopeful, we are aiming for minimum 5 to 6% revenue growth, maybe more, but there are various factors which affect it. So, but volume growth is going to be there, and top line, the raw material will have a part to play in it for the rest of the year.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the clarification. I'm also particularly interested in the demand trends.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sahil. Your voice is breaking.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, you are audible. Please proceed.
Yes, sir. I'm also particularly interested in understanding how the demand is shaping up, the demand trends in our key end user industries across Europe and USA.
I didn't understand demand trends in the key industries, and what about Europe and USA?
How they are shaping up in our key end user and industries over there.
I can't comment on in detail on what is happening in Europe and USA. But safe to say that our global peers are growing their business, and from what we see in their geographies, you know, I cannot comment on micro environment product wise in US and Europe, because we are servicing the paper sector. Paper manufacturing has moved out to China, parts of Southeast Asia, and India is now playing catch up. Textile has moved out of there, so we are servicing those geographies and we are concentrating on those geographies. As far as FMCG products are concerned, where there could be a parallel between Europe and US, we are moving on up the value chain in terms of quality deliverables to our customers, and we are working on global standards. So our but as India and other places in Southeast Asia and Africa become global factories for the world, the concentration is going to be on this side. So I can't really comment on your question beyond that.
Okay, sir. Thank you for the detailed response. And lastly, how do you anticipate the high-value products will recharge our sales in the coming quarters? Are there any strategies in place to drive growth in this segment?
Yeah, your voice is very breaking, Mr. Sahil. Can you please repeat the first part of your question?
Yes, sir. How do you anticipate that the high-value products will recharge our sales in the coming quarters?
So, we are hopeful that it will be positive. I've mentioned that FMCG sector and certain sales to the pharma sectors were impacted, but they've turned the corner, and FMCG commentary in the financial papers by the various CEOs attribute to growth in their business forecast, and we hope to you know, also grow our business to them in the coming year.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dishant Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to ask one question. What was the volume growth for FY24?
See, I will not give you the exact number, but there was a volume growth, and I would leave it at that. It's more of a strategic question in giving an exact number.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you. I, on behalf of Sujit, would like to express my gratitude to all of you for joining us today and sparing your precious time for us. We hope to see you back in our next phone call. If you still have any queries and questions, you may write to Mr. Bhavya Shah in our investor relations agency, that is Orient Capital. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of the Sujit Starch and Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.